Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 15 is on its way. Are you allowed to love? That's the title of Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 15. We're going to talk about games we love so much. Hey everybody, I am your host, The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
Yes! And we are excited to bring you Portal Gaming Podcast. Hey, Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of the Portal Gaming Store located in Manchester, Connecticut. So if you are in the Hartford, Connecticut area, swing on by, say hi to us. You can check out our toy store across the street. That's Time Machine Hobby. We would love to have you come in and stop in and visit us for the day. Tell them you listen to the podcast. And for more information, you can go on to our website, www.timemachineportal.com. Also, you can visit our Facebook page and see all the updates there and events and all sorts of things that are going on with miniatures gaming, war gaming, board gaming, new products, Magic the Gathering, Force of Will. What am I missing, Brian?
I forgot what you're... I don't know. I'm not feeling all that great, but you're really going for the above and beyond.
I got a lot of energy today, so I'm going to carry the load here, Brian. All right. So that's that should be good. Nice. All right, Brian. I did it. I fulfilled my portion of the promise.
I played
Kanban Automotive Revolution with you guys.
One time, but we played Terra Mystica a few times.
Whoa. It was not a one-for-one trade. It was a, I will play if you play Terra Mystica. And you guys, from the joy of Terra Mystica, have wanted to play again. The joy that oozes out of that game has made you want to play again.
And now you'd be willing to play Kanban again.
So my second play was much better than my first. I was also competitive.
Yeah.
Right in the middle there. It was a good time. My assessment stands. What I told you guys afterward was, great game. I'll play it if somebody else brings it out. And that's not just an unjoy of setting up the game, especially with that box that was completely jumbled. But just, it's a good game, but it's not something I'm going to try to bring to the table. But if other people do, I would play it again. It definitely clicked for me this time. So that last time we played, I'm going to say that's like podcast 6 or 7, maybe. And you could hear that. I was just tired. We played from starting at 6 a.m. and we started that game at 9 o'clock and I explained the rules for 45 minutes and my head just exploded.
Yeah, that was a rough one for you. But I'm glad we got it back, and hopefully this will kind of... we'll play it a few more times because I know it's on a couple of our 10x10s. So, I don't know. I'm excited to play it a few more times too.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good. So, there's that. Let's tell you about our giveaway. We want to do a $25 drawing for a gift card to the Portal. So since we're talking about love, I know it's a little late after Valentine's Day, but I want you guys to send us an email. That's portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email and tell us about a topic you would love for us to talk about on the podcast. So find a topic that you think would be interesting, that you'd like to hear about. And send us an email at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com, and we will enter you in to a drawing to win a $25 gift card. I know we've got a lot of new listeners out there, so hi, glad you're listening. And so feel free to enter into the raffle and win that gift card. Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. We'll talk about upcoming events now, things that are going on at the store and around the store and whatnot. So, Brian, why don't you take it away with the first one?
Yeah, so the thing that's coming up fairly quickly, we're going to have another one of our Silk City board game group meetups on Saturday, March 12th from 12 to 4:30 p.m. That's going to be kind of following the same sort of mix. We're going to have a few games that we're showcasing there, kind of working with the Manchester Public Library, and we're going to have a couple games showcased, and then there's going to be a huge selection for like a board game library, basically, just for people to kind of pick up and play some games. And we'll also bring some stuff to sell, like probably some of the new releases, and it'll kind of fit in that same mold where we've got, you know, some games going on and a couple being taught. And, you know, just feel free to stop by if you're interested in that. That's There's a Silk City board game group. You can check it out on Facebook. Jen's been doing a great job doing, like, she's really organizing that
really
and doing
job.
All
yes.
that. So she's really built up a lot of momentum. So check it out if you're interested. That's Saturday, March 12th at the Manchester Public Library.
Awesome. So the other thing we have coming up is International Tabletop Day. This is a big day for us. We clear out all sorts of things, and it's just board gaming that day. And both of the last 2 years, it's just been packed wall to wall. And so this is Saturday, April 30th, and it runs midnight to midnight. So people are there even Friday. If you get there Friday at 7, 8 o'clock at night, people started last year. There was a group that came in and brought stuff to cook and eat and all sorts of things. And we just play all the way through, and it's open. The gaming library is open. There's promos and raffles and all sorts of other things that you can get involved in. And so we just want to give you that heads up. It's like 2 months away, but we want you to know when that's happening. And so come on down. There'll be all sorts of things. We're looking for people to run some various events. So if you're interested in that, let us know.
Yeah, and some information's kind of trickling in just as far as like we've usually gotten like a retail kit sort of thing with like some promos and stuff that we can give away throughout the day. Some more information is kind of being passed along. It sounds like they've kind of like Geek and Sundry, who kind of heads it up, has changed. They've put some changes up to their like website and to the system that they've got going in place. So we're going to be getting some more information on that. And it sounds like they're kind of getting it a little more streamlined too. Mm. And it also sounds like we're going to be getting another group in to play like the pandemic survival tournament. Mm. So we should have a couple signups as the weeks go on. Like, we'll be posting those up at the portal and just having people there. So you can be a part of like a bigger pandemic event where it's like teams of two and you're fighting against the same deck and trying to survive the longest or cure the diseases the fastest. So
yeah, and rumor has it if you win that, you get to go play at Gen Con.
Yeah.
Did that last year. That was really fun. So that was a good time. So that's International Tabletop Day, Saturday, April 30th. Quick other thing. I think we mentioned this last time, actually. Or maybe we didn't. Anyway, ConCon is in Stamford, Connecticut, and that is March 17, 18,
19, 20. I don't think it's this. I think it's just 18, 19, 20.
All right. So that's down in Stamford, Connecticut. So check that out. And Brian and I, some of us will be there, and we're not sure on days when we're going to be there, but but you should go regardless, even if we're not there.
Yeah, no, it's a great time. They've got it all up on their website. I think it's just concon.com or something like that.
C-O-N-N-C-O-N .com. That's really easy.
Yeah, how could you screw that up?
Nice. All right, those are our upcoming events. Let's go to what's on your table. I'm going to start us off here. I played a game from Aporta Games called Automania. I didn't remember the name of the publisher there, and Brian looked it up right before, and I was like, I'll never remember that. And I remembered. So this is Automania. So Automania is Kanban Light. This is a worker placement game where you're making cars, and when you place a worker, you essentially make a car, and you send them through your factory, and you grab these upgrade tiles. So there's kind of a grid, 4x4 grid, and you place your workers on the outside, and then you can pick a tile either in the row or column, and you add it. And you add a spoiler to your type of car, or you add some other system. You make it safe, you make it economical, you make it good gas mileage. And there's kind of a track of what the Europeans are looking for and what the Americans are looking for in cars, and you kind of score these stars. And then the more stars you have, the better boat you can put the car on. You score points for the better boats. And then once everybody's placed all their workers at the end of the round, everybody starting with the highest number on the boat gets to sell their car to North America first, where you can get a lot of money, and then to Europe, where you can get a lot of points. And each gets both, but they kind of favor one or the other, so you can go for both those strategies. In addition, you can get like upgrades to your factory, so you can get more workers, and you can get people who are business smart and help you save money, and people who can help you sell more cars because you're limited on the number of cars you can do. Plays over four rounds. There's kind of a set number of tiles for the first two and the last two, so they kind of build up. Really fun game. I really enjoyed it. It's like 45 minutes to an hour. It's pretty light, but it's thinky. You know, it's that medium light or that light medium, whatever we're always trying to go with. But it's got that flow and it's got that right choice. I really enjoyed it. I know my wife got frustrated because there's a set of cards, and I guess I didn't do the best job explaining it. Just she's trying to process all the rules, and so you have cards in your hand, and then there's cards on the table, and there's certain ways you can kind of grab more cards from the deck. And when you build a car, you can play one of those cards if it meets the criteria, a certain number of stars, these qualities, and you score bonus points or get bonus money. And she thought the ones in the center were kind of available to anybody, so she was trying to play. And then she thought she could do, like, multiple cards on one car. So she was kind of playing this big strategy, this Brian-like strategy of I'm going to capitalize on multiple things at once. And I was like, oh, you can't do that. She was like, well, now I'm set back on my strategy. So that frustrated a little bit. But after we were done playing, she definitely said she would play it again. So that's Automania, a Porta Games. What have you been playing, Brian?
Yeah, so we had kind of mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the Kanban requirements, what we'd need to do before that. So one of the most recent ones that I've been playing a lot has been Terra Mystica by Z-Man Games, where you're kind of, like, everyone has a unique race, which is really the cool part about it. Like, everyone has their unique one that plays very differently. You've got that race, and then you're kind of doing a sort of area control sort of thing where you're building up, like, your little, like, developments on the board, kind of turning them into cities, and those cities will generate resources, and it's a very tight, like, balancing act where you've got, like, you're trying to expand and progress each type of building that you've got, kind of going up this track, and like what you've placed out on the board will kind of unlock different resources that you're generating each turn and that sort of stuff. So you're kind of really expanding on the board and trying to, like, balance that like development and resource generation sort of thing. And it's really unique because each race has, like, a very special power. It makes them very distinct. So you're trying to really utilize what your race has for a special ability. And it's not even just like basic stuff. It's like the buildings cost different amounts to build, or you've got different abilities that you will unlock as you progress in the game. And I don't know, I've played it a few times now. I know you'd played it a bunch, Brant, but I'm really getting into the flow where I want to try out new abilities and new races and see how they kind of mesh together. And you're all kind of working toward this, like, you've got kind of different points of scoring throughout the game where you're trying to do different things, trying to accomplish different goals at different times over a course of, like, what, 7 or 8 rounds?
Six rounds.
I was kind of close. And then there's kind of this, like, final end game scoring where you're doing, like, area, like, you're going up on all these, like, culture tracks, and you're doing, like, majorities for there, like, highest gets a certain number of points, and you're also looking at, like, your overall civilization, like, how much you've really sprawled out on the board, and you're getting points based on what you've done there, and there are a couple different, like, variable end game goals. So you're really throwing all these different, like, this whole variety into one game, and now you're generating, like, a new game every time you play based on what you've picked and what the end game will look like and that sort of stuff. So I don't know. I've really enjoyed Terra Mystica, and I'm glad I've gotten to play it a little bit more frequently. I'm sure you've got a lot to say about it, too.
I think I'll keep my comments short. Right. It's my favorite game of all time, so I could just go on and on and on. But it is interesting. I don't believe I've played it 18 times.
Yeah.
But there are 14 races in the base game, 6 in the expansion. So that's 20 total. The reason I say 18 is because 2 in the expansion are kind of overpowered. So I know they've been nerfed and brought back, and you need to look up the errata. So I've never really jumped into playing them because I haven't looked that up. It's like every time I'm opening it up.
Yeah.
We played it Total Con
last
week or 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't going to, like, errata and figure out how to do those. But I feel like I've played every race in some sense. So I don't know if I've seen every race played or thought about them all.
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to have that sense of, like, okay, well, I'll play whatever you give me, or I played them before. And so I just start to wonder how that works going forward. Like, if our group really ends up playing this, you know, 10 times for each person or just total. And then 10 times next year, and we all get 15, 20 plays under our belt. What would be the difference in terms of that? Because you're right, it creates this unique experience, but it always feels the same. It's just trying to adjust to your race. And then I do wonder about that, like, balance of races. But, I mean, I got to trust people. It's got 5,000 ratings on Board Game Geek, if not more. And it's number 3 of all time. Yeah. So it can't be this game where it's like, oh, once you play it 15 times, you realize it's totally unbalanced. I mean, I think that's why the game gets such good ratings. It is balanced with all that. Or close enough.
And this totally feels like one, like just hearing a couple stories for, like, you know, like, through the ages, a new story of Civilization, like, just hearing stories that you've told me, Brant, about how they look through the data that they got from people playing online and how they updated the new version based on all those plays. It was just amazing to me because I was kind of doing just, like, a little bit, like, looking up Terra Mystica, seeing a couple things, just kind of refreshing my memory before the podcast, and I stumbled across this, like, oh, you know, like, this commentary about, like, the expansion and then, like, all these different stats that we're going through, like, just showing how many plays different races have gotten and how many wins they've gotten. And, you know, like, this just huge array of, like, data where it's just, like, all these people have contributed to these stats on which races are winning. And you just see this, like, this full progression, like, from the top ones down to, like, the lowest ones, and just kind of seeing all those plays and all that stuff that the community is putting into it is just really cool.
Yeah. They're all behind it.
And it's funny too, cause we were talking about this after we played recently, like maybe I was talking to someone else, but I could totally just make up a 10x10 with Terra Mystica. Like, I could play this game 10 times with, like, 10 different races.
Yeah.
And just, it would feel very fresh to me. Like, just, you know, I guess maybe it would be rough at the end of it, but I could see that happening. I could see my list just being Terra Mystica. I'm not going to do that, but I could see that I could see people getting really into this game and just being, like, completely dedicated to it. So,
all right. So now you've played it a bunch. Is it a top 10 Brian game of all time?
I mean, I've only played it, like, 5 times or something.
Top 25.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be top 10. I don't know.
Nice.
I don't know.
That's it. I rest my case. All right, moving on.
What's your case?
I just say, see, it's a great game. I got a chance to play Raptor. This is from Matago and Asmodee. This is a 2-player game. Bruno Cathala, Bruno Feduti designed this. So one player is the scientist, one player is the mama raptor with the baby raptors. Scientists are trying to capture 3 baby raptors. Mama's trying to get 3 baby raptors rescued to safety. She's good if she gets 3/5. She's okay. If 2 of them die or get captured, she's okay with it. They can't actually die, so be careful with that. There's also some alt wins. If the raptor eliminates all the scientists, she wins. If the scientists put mama to sleep permanently, or I guess for that game, really to sleep, because you have to hit her a bunch of times with sleeping gas, then they win. I guess the idea is they could just go around and collect the baby raptor. So there's that. Basically, the whole game comes down to this card playing mechanism, because it's a very short 20-minute game. But you each have a deck of 9 cards, and you draw 3 of those cards on your turn, or draw back up to 3, and then you each pick one face down, and you flip. Whoever has the lower number gets to activate the ability on their card. So they all have a unique ability. Whoever has the higher number gets a number of actions equal to the difference. So Brian plays a 3, I play a 6. He gets to activate his ability on his card, which may be drive his scientists around using jeeps, which they can move really fast. And then I get 3 actions. So as the raptor, I can attack a scientist and kill him if he's near me. I can stomp out fire. I can wake up sleeping baby raptors. Or I can move my baby raptors off the board. They have to escape off the board. And these various types of things, I'm not going to go through all the actions and whatnot. And then you draw up and you keep playing. There's one card that lets you reset your whole deck early. Otherwise, when you draw to your deck, you just reshuffle, which that would be at the same time for both players. But it's really neat. It's that action just feels satisfying, whether I get the ability or the actions. Both seem good when I'm picking my card. When I actually flip and see what the other player did, I'm kicking myself sometimes. But it's really interesting. And then it's really neat how not only is it what do I want to do, but you start reading the other player. What do I want to do based off what I know he or she is going to want to do? And that becomes another layer that gets added in there. It is repetitive in that you're just kind of doing that same thing, and the board state kind of fluctuates towards one person, and then it's really up to the other person to tip it back. So there is probably kind of a key turn where something swings, which definitely happened to me in both of my plays of it. But it's a neat game. It's a cool little two-player game. It can flip the tiles for a different arrangement. You know, it's got a little bit of that. So I would think for a good solid 10 plays, it's a great game. It may start to feel a little old after that, but it was really neat. So that's Raptor, Matigo Games.
Yeah, so the next one I wanted to touch base on is St. Petersburg by, like, that's just been redone by Z-Man Games. And to clarify, I guess I've only played this one time so far with none of, like, the modules kind of kicked in, but it seems very interesting, and I want to play it a few more times and just see how it goes with some of those expansions and all that sort of stuff. But St. Petersburg is basically just like it's a very tight card game where you're kind of playing a series of rounds, and it'll progress. So, like, you'll start off, and there's a deck of cards that represents all these workers that are contributing to, like, you know, generating resources, that sort of stuff. So this deck of cards will kind of come out, and you'll reveal a set number of cards, and you'll go around and you can draft them and basically put them in front of you and add them to your tableau. And at the end of that round, those workers will generate resources. Then it kind of moves on to a new round where, you know, any of those workers that weren't drafted will stay out. They'll be available. And then buildings will come up. So you're trying to, like, you're going around and trying to draft some of those buildings, or maybe you want to go back and draft some of those workers and that sort of stuff, and you're going to have to pay for the cards to get them in front of you. And, you know, it'll go around till you decide you want to move to the next round. The next round is a deck of cards where it's got, like, all these, like, aristocrats, which are giving you, like, money and some victory points, and they're kind of helpful for the long term, like the end game. Sorry, and I forgot to mention the buildings are kind of giving you victory points and a couple resources, but mostly, like, victory points. The aristocrats are mostly giving you, like, money and that sort of stuff. And then it goes to a fourth round where it's going to be adding all these, like, upgrade cards, which are basically just replacing cards in your tableau that are, it's just giving you better effects from set cards that are in your tableau. And then it'll go around and you'll draft all the upgrade cards, and then it'll kind of reset. So, like, you'll be looking at doing that over the course of the game a few more times till one of the decks runs out, and you'll kind of have to play to the end game. But I don't know. I really did enjoy it. It's kind of this game where you're trying to manipulate, like, where you're drafting, because it's pretty much set. I believe you get, like, you'll draft first in one of the rounds, possibly two, depending on the number of players that you've got. So it'll kind of rotate. So if, say, I draft first in the workers phase, like, that'll kind of move around. So next round, the person to my left will draft first in that phase. And you're really trying to, like, make sure you'll be able to draft a new card if you want it, just, like, based on how that turn order is going to be going and where you are based on the round of the game. And I don't know, it seemed, like, a little slow going at first for us. I think it was just kind of, like, trying to figure out that engine, like, how to actually, you know, build up on that. But I think it was really enjoyable once it got going, and once you kind of figured out, like, once it clicked where it was like, all right, this is what we're trying to do, this is how we're trying to manipulate the system to our benefit. I think it was really fun and really unique, and I could see a lot more plays in this one, especially with some of those, like, those modules that you can kind of add in. I can't speak to those since we haven't played any of them, but I don't know. I could see more variety being a really good thing for this too. But I don't know if it even needs it. Like, I'd be fine playing this just like we did again,
yeah,
and trying to see that system and see how it goes. But yeah, at its core, it's a pretty simple card game, and you're just kind of progressing through those rounds till one of them runs out. So
yeah, no, it was a neat game. Like you said, we played once and we kind of missed on a couple of rules that seemed key's one tough. Rule. We weren't paying less for cards that we had multiples of. So if you had the same card, draft the same card twice, you'd pay less. And that
did seem huge.
I definitely was way behind, and that may have been something. Although anyway, that's not important. But the potential is so there for that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I checked it out myself, I was like, "Hey guys, this is going to be a great game."
Yeah.
And so I could see the potential. So we just need to, like, get that solid other play in or another one. I have heard and read that the market on the other side of the board is amazing.
Okay.
And it's such a great part of the game. So we need to throw that in. That's not a module. That's kind of a five-player thing or an alt for other players. So we really need to get that in.
Okay.
And I think that will add another element. So, but I think that's the beauty of this game, is if we liked it at its simplest,
yeah,
you know either you could add and it's going to get awesome, or you just pull away the things you don't like and it's just as good. So, neat.
Yeah, so St. Petersburg. Recently produced by Z-Man Games.
Yes, I'm going to throw one more in here. Fuse by Renegade Games. So Fuse is a game where you have 10 minutes. You're on a timer. There's actually an app from Renegade that you get. And you have 10 minutes to defuse the bomb that's about to go off on your ship. And so you work together. You have cards in front of you. Everybody has two cards. And then you reach into a bag and you roll colored dice, 1 through 6. And you roll a number equal to the number of players. And then each person has to assign one die to their cards. Changes a little bit with two, and with one player you could play it. But anyway, and you're trying to create kind of sets or combinations or stacks. You even stack the dice in the pyramids. You just keep passing around. It's like a high-speed game, and there's a deck in the middle that you're trying to get rid of all the cards in there. Now, the catch on it is not only do you have to do those things, but if you can't use a die, if your team has a die they can't use, then it's like a fuse that explodes, and it everybody has to lose a die that either matches the color or the number of that one. And so you're discarding cards back to bag, and then every so often, fuse cards will come out of the deck that just say, everybody loses a black, everybody loses a one, and you have to discard those. So your best laid plans start going crazy. And to me, it was a mark of a good game because I learned it myself. I got the app, and I played. And I was like, oh, okay, I get this now. I have to try that again. So I played twice in a row. Then my wife came home at 10 o'clock after working, and I said, you have to play this game. She's 10 o'clock at night. I just worked. I said, trust me, it's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We played. She goes, oh, I get it. We have to play that again. We played twice in a row. Then I brought it to school, played it with the board game club. Oh, we get it. We have to play that again. Played it twice in a row. Three groups.
Yeah.
I'm doing air quotes. All three did that same, we have to play it again. So that definitely seemed to me to definitely be at least a thumbs up. We'll have to see about two thumbs up in the long play.
And that is them saying it. It's not you saying you have to play this again.
No, it was all the other people saying we have to play that again. So I was the only one on the first. So anyway, I got that in there. Small game, 10 minutes, but it was really, really fun. So that's Fuse from Renegade Games. All right, we're going to move on to our discussion topic today, games we love. And the title of our episode is, Are You Allowed to Love? And that is Padme asking Anakin about Jedi, and of course, the downfall of the Jedi, because he loved. But in fact, he says we're encouraged to love. So we're going to talk about games we love. So what we did here was we constructed some lists based on some ideas. So we're not really trying to do our top 10 games or, you know, whatever, something along that. I just said to Brian, let's pick some categories and we'll just name the game we love and the other person can say, oh, this is a game of that type that I love. So I think I have way too many categories over here. but we'll pick those. So, you know, I just picked out, it's not necessarily my absolute favorite of this type, but just a game that I want to recognize because I love it so much, or it's just not as well known. So there was that. So I guess I'll pick a category, tell what I did, and then you pick a category. And then when you run out of categories, I'll just hammer through all mine and you can comment on them. Sound
I
good?
Really just have the how many six that we had from the.
Just have fun with it.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with Euro games right off the bat.
Yeah.
So Euro games we love. All right. I already talked about Terra Mystica, so I'll set that one aside. The other one you mentioned earlier, Through the Ages, a new story of civilization. This game is competing to be my favorite game of all time. It's so good. I love it at 2. I haven't played it at 3 in the new one. I love it at when we played it at 5, technically. I was on Larry's team. So even at 4, it was super long. I don't care. I feel like somehow I'm engaged. It's so interesting to build a civilization and I love seeing somebody's military and somebody does this. So this is a game I love. I actually am playing it online at BoardGamingOnline.com. So in Age 1, it's neck and neck, the Brant and Brant. Are very close. I'll let you at home figure that out.
Third is way down there.
So that's my Euro games that I love. Terra Mystica Through the Ages. What do you got for Euro?
I guess I just three that came to my head I kind of named. Like, we had already talked about Kanban, so I'm not going to get into that. I did throw that in there. That's up there for me after playing it a few more times. Mm-hmm. Trajan is another one that I've really been wanting to play again, like a really cool Stefan Feld game where you're just doing like a Mancala sort of thing. And I that's really high up there, I guess. I haven't played it recently though, so that's probably one of the downsides to it. But
yeah,
the third one that I did want to mention that I've actually been playing a few times with my wife recently, and I don't know, I'm really enjoying it. I could see some more variety being welcomed, but Deus has Ooh. Been one that has been great. Like, it's just got enough. It does, and I'm just saying, like, more variety, because I always want, like, all these other, you know, all these other things added to it. Like, it's got a ton anyway in the base game, and we've been playing it quite a bit recently, so it's just been a really fun one with, you know, all these different unique card effects and that sort of stuff. So I wanted to mention Deus as one that's really high up there for me.
Nice. So. You know what would be fun? I would love to do Feld games back-to-back.
Like a Feld
Friday. Like a Feld Fest or Feld Friday. Yeah. That'd be awesome. So do Trajan, and then do Castles of Burgundy, Bruges.
Amerigo.
Aquasphere, we haven't played yet. Yeah, that would be fun. I know there's a ton of Felds, but that would be really fun.
Yeah, no, we should do that.
That'd be really good. And then I could really compare them, because Trajan and Castle of Burgundy are my two that I don't know. Like, when I made my list, they're back-to-back, and they could just swap. They're both so good.
What else? There's Bora Bora, right?
Yeah.
But that's not as high?
It's good. I do like it. It's just a pain to set up. That would be on my list of games I hate to set up.
Okay.
With Kanban. Kanban, when you take the box and you shake it violently so the pieces are everywhere.
That was a problem.
Yes.
Maybe Mombasa? No.
For setting up?
That wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
That's just all.
Why don't you pick a category?
So I guess, should we just skip it? So party games.
Nice.
I've got, again, three that came to mind, like, immediately, just based on my tastes for games. So Codenames has been great. I consider that a party game. I don't care what people say. That one's fun in groups, and I've just liked it in multiple settings, too. It's good with, like, you know, my family and that sort of stuff. So that's up there. Again, Mysterium, I'm counting that as the party game. Because, I mean, it plays up to 7, and it's a really fun group setting sort of game. And my third one, which is kind of less of a game, but Concept is the one I wanted to mention. Mm. That has just worked across the board for me, like, I haven't had a scenario where it hasn't gone over well. And, I mean, it does turn into more of just like, hey, let's just pick a word and try to get people to guess it, not like, oh, we're playing a game, like, you know, charades with like a board. But I don't know. It has been going over really well, and I don't know. It's been working for all different age groups, too, for me. So nice. I think Concept is really high up there, too.
Nice. I got two party games. I have Mysterium, same as you. I really throw that one out there because my wife loves that game. Mm-hmm. That's like one of her favorite games from last year. And so I love playing games with my wife, so I think of that game. And I love my wife. So Mysterium has definitely been a great party game, so I agree with you on that piece. And then my other one is Telestrations. This has always gone over so well. Although I admit, almost all the times that I've played Telestrations, it's been 10 to 12 people. And I think that really adds that element of really passing that pad all the way around, making those drawings and everything. And it's always been with, like, the perfect groups. Like, they'll tweak the clues a little bit, but not so far overboard. And then people bring them back, and it's just hilarious. Like, even that end, when you're reading through all of them, everybody's still there laughing, like, through all of them. So Telestration's been an awesome party game.
Yeah, that one just didn't come to mind, but that one's really good too.
Yeah, nice. All right, I'm going to do Ameritrash.
Yeah, I skipped over this one.
Now, there is definitely an element of, like, modern Ameritrash.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, games with dice rolling or FFG, right? Like, just some of these companies that, you know, Kumini or not, that just make games that are very that way. You're thinking of The Grizzled, I know, and you're going to try to...
No, I was thinking of maybe something on yours.
So... I went with, like, the Ameritrashy of all Ameritrash. Some of these games that I love, and I know that other people would not like them, but I had to give a nod to HeroScape, which I now have 3 base sets, and a whole bunch of stuff for. That's just been a game. Admittedly, do I play it a lot now? No, but we played so much. I mean, we built a, like, 10... level, like, we had a mountain and a volcano and a giant lake. We put, like, 4 sets together with other people bringing stuff over. We had to leave this thing set up for a week because it wasn't worth taking down. So, gotta give a nod to HeroScape. I mean, that's it, right? You get any monster, any person from any time in history or fantasy, throw them together and roll dice, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one, which I have played recently, is Battle Masters. So, this is the one I saw at a TotalCon. You get a giant 4-foot by 4-foot mat or 4-foot by 6-foot mat laid on the table. It's got huge hexagons that are 6 inches across, and you put your plastic Games Workshop figures out, and then you draw cards and you just roll dice and you go at each other. And by far the best part is you have kind of all your flunkies with different names, orcs and beastmen and footmen and crossbowmen, but then you have the mighty cannon and the ogre for the good side and the bad side, and they have their own mechanics, and it's just awesome. You just laugh, and you just scream, and you cheer, and you die miserably, and you make a great comeback, or you just fade into nothing. But what a blast for 30 to maybe an hour, 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Those are 2 I thought of. Do you have anything Ameritrashy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this one was one of the more difficult ones for me to figure out. I started off kind of thinking all these, like, older ones. I guess my mind first went to any game with dice. And it quickly filled up with, like, Roll for the Galaxy and Stone Age and that sort of stuff, which admittedly are not Ameritrash games. Right.
Roll's better, but then you're manipulating the dice, right? And Stone Age is a worker placer.
So then, yeah. But those were, like, up at the top for me. So then it quickly went into, like, what are some of those classic games that I grew up playing a bit. I haven't really played as much recently, but Talisman and Munchkin came to mind as two classic ones for me, where it was, like, I remember the days when I did love playing these games, and, you know, I'm not going to get them to the table as frequently, if ever, now, but I don't know. It did bring some of that nostalgia back. I guess when I was kind of, after I had finished this list, though, it kind of transitioned. I was thinking of some other games where it was like, I guess I want to know what you're taking, like some of like the, like Dead of Winter or Fear of Dracula, like are those going to be kind of fitting in that mold?
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
Okay, then those
I mean, some people would argue it's thematic, and those are certainly thematic games, right? Like,
how about like King of Tokyo or...
Yeah.
Okay, then those quickly wipe off Talisman and Munchkin from my list, and I will say... Dead of Winter, King of Tokyo, Fury of Dracula, like those ones are there for me now, where they've replaced those older games. And I mean even what's that other one? The Warhammer 40K
Conquest? Board game.
No,
Relic?
No.
Forbidden Stars?
Yeah, Forbidden Stars. That one was fun too.
We have to dig that out.
And that one would count like Ameritrashy, right? Like that one's an Ameritrash game.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So then that one would be high up there too. So there were actually quite a few. They were more than I thought there were going to be for this. So I have to give Ameritrash some credit. With Talisman and Munchkin being those older ones that, you know, have kind of been replaced for me, but there's still some value there. And I don't mind. Like, those would be fun if I was playing with someone that was getting into the hobby or something like that. I would not mind playing those games at all. So those were my old ones, and then, yeah, they've kind of been replaced by some of the more recent ones that feel a little more engaging with, like, the game, and, you know, they're always engaging with other players, but
these
ones feel like there's a game behind it, too.
Nice. What do you got for a category?
I will go down the list and just go to Guilty Pleasures next. So the first one, I guess I want to mention, you called me out on it before, and that's coconuts, which at first I didn't consider a guilty pleasure because I feel no guilt playing this game. But I do feel a little guilty when all these coconuts are flying all over the floor and then trying to pick them up afterwards. Like, then I feel a little bad. But I love coconuts. That's a really fun coconut flinging game. As much as people think it's monkey poop, they're coconuts.
I love that you picked this game. That's so good.
But yeah, no, I love coconuts.
Nice.
I guess I kind of want to get in. Like, Talisman was another one I mentioned. For guilty pleasures, where it's like it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of game there, but I love playing it with the people that I play it with and that sort of stuff. And then a similar sort of thing, Betrayal at House on the Hill, which, you know, was, there's a lot of like theme in there, and there's, it's fun, but you know, it isn't the best game, and it doesn't really feel like you're trying to actually win. You're just trying to like play the storyline out. But yeah, of the three, I'd definitely say like coconuts I'd play anytime, and the other two would be fun in the right circumstance. So.
Nice. My guilty pleasure is Pretty Pretty Princess, and I play the solo mode on this, so I have to get the tiara and wear all four bracelets and necklaces and the sapphire, ruby, emerald, and diamond rings by the end, and it's really challenging. So I play by myself in my attic, and I just want everybody to know. No, sorry, that is not my guilty pleasure game. Although it was sounding more interesting the more I talked about it. You think that would be Ameritrash or Euro, Pretty Pretty Princess?
The solo game?
All right. My guilty pleasure that I wrote down, there's probably others if I thought more, but the one I definitely went to was the Pathfinder Adventure Card Game. Because I guess it's like Talisman. It's just, it's not really that great of a game, I don't think, but there's just something enticing, and then I play it with my wife. It's the two of us, and we have the best time. Now, we did try to play this four-player. I think we've mentioned it before. Brian and Rachel and Kathy and I, and it just failed miserably. Even with our try, like, and we couldn't figure it out because Kathy and I have such a blast two-player. We played the Skull and Shackle one, so maybe there's just something about playing four-player. Who knows? But we just could never win, and that was just so boring. It was random stuff, and you don't win. Yeah. At least when we play, we win, even if it's easy. You get to progress, and that's the fun. Ooh, now I got these more cards and whatnot. So we've just had a really good time. That's just a fun thing that we've been able to dig out. Like, boy, we're exhausted, and it's 9 o'clock, and we shouldn't really play. Oh, let's play Pathfinder Adventure Card Game. We can cruise through one of those. Yeah. And I always preset, so the next time, when we finish playing, so the next time all we have to do is drag everything out, and it's ready to go. So that's mine.
Nice.
Pathfinder Adventure Card Game and Pretty Pretty Princess Solo. I may do it. I'll report back. Am I the next cat? No.
Yeah. Yeah, so next time.
Okay. Solo games. The game I love to play solo, and it would also be top on my list, though, is the Lord of the Rings LCG. I love that game. In fact, when Brian just came over before we recorded this, I was sitting playing Lord of the Rings LCG, so that is a game I love to play solo. The other one is Mage Knight, the game that I have kidnapped from Brian.
Yeah.
For 3 or 4 years now, I've had it.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
But these are probably two of my favorite solo games to play. Yeah, so you got a favorite, or just a game you love. It doesn't have to be your favorite, but just one that you say, boy,
I want to play this solo.
Do you play solo?
No, not really. I mean, Lord of the Rings LCG would probably be there.
Do you even do that much?
No, I don't do it.
Did you
lot.
Do that much back in the day?
What, solo games?
Just Lord of the Rings LCG, like, say, a year and a half ago when we were playing a lot more. Were you doing it solo or not really?
I guess more of that was, like, building decks and, you know, maybe playing a scenario or two, but not, like,
trying to progress or something.
I guess it was a little more frequent, like when my wife was pregnant and there was like, you know, like she needed to sleep or something like that, and then I was like, oh, this is a quick thing, like I can just play a scenario and try a different deck out and that sort of stuff. I don't know. I guess something just doesn't click. And I've been fortunate to have like a wife that plays games and like a group that plays games consistently. So I guess I just, it doesn't click for me with a solo style game. Like it's just not, I'm not getting as much out of it. Like if I were, I would just rather do like, you know, like a puzzle or like, not like a jigsaw puzzle, but like a mind,
yeah,
you know, like a thinking sort of puzzle where you're just trying to do that, or even like a video game or something before I would be like playing a board game solo. And that's just because I don't get as much out of it. I want to be interacting with people for like a board game. But yeah, Lord of the Rings LCG is definitely the one probable exception to that where I will play that and I'll try out a new deck. But I guess even then it's kind of getting that ready so I can play with other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And it's just tough, like, sorting that game and getting it all together and trying to get together for a play session and that sort of stuff. That's been tough. That's been the most difficult part for that game.
Right.
So when I really want to get that to the table, I can just quickly pull out a deck and play against whatever scenario there is. So
I just took everything out, organized everything, and so it's ready to go. So it's just grab and play. So that would be a good place. We want to play this more, so if you're interested in playing Lord of the Rings LCG, track us down and say, I want to play, and we'll give you decks, and we'll do whatever. And that's the thing I love about this game, is I can give you a deck and just go, just play it, and it'll work. So I've said that before, so anyway. Awesome. That's my solo games that I love.
All right. So next up, I guess, classics. I struggled on this one, I guess, but there are a couple that I've played, like, all growing up and that sort of stuff. So, Setback has been, like, a great card game that I've played, and, you know, that was one where my parents taught it to me, and it was one of the, you know, one of the more in-depth card games that I remember growing up playing. But, no, yeah, Setback was great with, like, some different variants, and, you know, we played a couple different ways, so there was, like, some variety there for setup and, you know, we weren't always doing the same sort of thing and just playing with, like, teams and that sort of stuff. That was great. Triple Yahtzee, not just regular Yahtzee.
I played quadruple Yahtzee.
That was another one, like, for family gatherings, just, like, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas. Like, you know, my aunt and my mom and my grandmother, like, they all loved this game. So it was just one that was always working for that group. So yeah, specifically Triple Yahtzee. And the last one I want to mention, Crokinole, which is, I guess that kind of counts as classic, right?
Kind of. I have no idea when it was invented.
I don't know. It's an old game.
I've only seen it the last couple of years.
I haven't played it for a long time, but it's old, right? So I think it's been around a little while.
I used to play Caroms. So Caroms is a square board with pockets, and it's almost like pool. You're trying to get clear yours from the center.
Yeah.
Somewhat similar idea to Crokinole, at least that you're flicking discs.
Yeah. No, but that one's, I don't know. I guess it's more of that dexterity line rather than like a thinky game, but it's been great whenever I played it. And it's just one of those ones that you can set up and people are going to kind of flock around it. So
yeah, definitely.
That one's up there too. So
nice. For classic games, I went two. So I went one kind of your Parker Brothers, Milton Bradley. I don't know if that's like classic, but went with that. And Careers is a game that I've always loved. I think I still would play Careers. It's a roll and move game. Surprise! I don't know if that's trademarked. All right. Flip the table. Listen to their podcast. But it's just really neat. You go down all these paths. You can go to college, and you can go to big business, and you could go to art and go into space, and everybody's picking your own winning conditions. So how much love do you want to have? How much money and how much fame do you want to have? And then when you achieve your goals of enough love, fame, and money, you win. So everybody picks their own, so it's kind of neat, and there's just all sorts of different places you could go. So it's very thematic. You go through all those different places, and you can go to Vegas and gamble to get money, and you can go to space to become famous, and other politics, and things like that. So it's a really good game from the 70s, I'm going to say. So that's one of my classics that I absolutely love that I would play.
I've never actually played that, so
that's cool. And then my other classic that I just can't even believe how good this game is Bridge. I love bridge. I was taught bridge something like 10 years ago. I always assumed bridge was just a really simple game that people played when they got into a retirement home. This is the most intense card game I've ever played. This is just one of those games where experience is the entire game. The more you play, the more it makes sense and the better you get at it. My wife and I like bridge so much, we invented our own version of two-player bridge just so we could play more often, because bridge requires four people, unless you play our version. And the weirdest thing is, when we win, if Brian and I were a team and I won the bid, Brian would lay his hand down on the table and everybody can see it, and I play my hand and his hand. And his job is now to refill everybody's drinks, get food, make sure everybody's all set, and I play. And that was like the weirdest thing to me. I was like, what are you talking about? Somebody's not playing? That doesn't even exist in game. Now, I guess it's kind of boring for you, but you have that like edge of your seat if you're not actually doing those things, right? Of like, can Brant do this? Does he understand what we're trying to do here and watching me? And so that could be pretty interesting. And once you know it, you can play those hands decently fast. So it's not like you're sitting out for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting out for 4 or 5 minutes, and that's kind of interesting. But it's all about the bidding and your tricks. And it's a very interesting game because there's like this social policy. I don't even know what it is. Where like, if I make a bid and you don't know what I mean, you can ask our opponents what they think I meant. They're supposed to try to help you to think. It's a very interesting game. But bridge is the most intense game I've ever played with 52 cards. So
is that a deep game?
I don't know. It's an experience game, I guess.
I don't know. That was just a thought. Because we've always had this conversation of like, you know.
Yeah.
Or heavy or light, I guess, is what I meant. Was that a heavy game?
There you go. Nice. All right. How about new game? The newest game that I love right now is Mombasa. So I don't know if that's the last year or last. I mean, specifically, I think of this one as this year because I played it for the first time on January 1st. Of 2016, and I love this game. I think it's so good. I think I've played it 3 times now, and so that's the game that I am in love with right now, 2 months into the year. So do you have a new game
like
that
a new
you
release?
Love?
I guess I'd have to give a shout-out. Like, Ships was really fun. I've only played that once, but that's off the cusp. That's one that I want to play again and, you know, keep trying different things on it. So Ships by Martin Wallace, that one... I did really enjoy.
No, I think that was cool because it jumped right out at you. So that was neat there. So that's my new game that I love. Do you have any more?
Well, I mean, Mombasa is great too.
Oh, I meant categories.
Oh, I mean all-time favorites, but we could save that for the end, right?
I just have a couple here. If you have any comments, you could do that. So I have my game that I love that no one will play with me. And I don't play this solo. Imperial Assault. So many people love this game, but I don't have anybody in my group that likes playing Imperial Assault. Kathy thinks it's okay. You and Rachel were like, eh, you could pass on it. Other people, so I mean, I know some people that do like it, so I just need to find that group and play it. But I've been collecting everything. Mm-hmm. It's one of those games I can't wait till I can get my daughter to play, and if she will hopefully love it the way I do, and we can run through it. But that's my game that I love that no one will play with me. Do you have a game like that you could think of?
No, I mean, it could have been Kanban, but that would have been just with you specifically.
That Brant will play.
I'm trying to think if there's something that's like, I don't know, there's been so many different people that, you know, like I feel like I've been able to get most games in that I've wanted to. I guess just struggles to get stuff to the table like Lord of the Rings LCG. That's not like a lack of wanting to play it. It's a lack of having right circumstances arising and that sort of stuff. So maybe that, I guess. Lahav, we haven't played again since we played it one time, and that one.
Yeah, but people will play that way.
Right,
it doesn't fall in this category.
Yeah, I know it's a different sort of thing, but that's more of like trying to fit it in based on like length of play and what we've got with us, and that, you know. Right. So there are other circumstances again, like that's not as pure as like what you've got going on there, but yeah.
Yeah. I'll just throw some of these other ones out there. Definitely have to give a nod to this. So my favorite game, the game I love, I don't know which way you say this, but the game I love where you level a character the best one by far is the WoW board game. World of Warcraft board game. Big box, coffin box, FFG. I feel like ever since I've known you, I have talked about how much I like leveling characters in this game. There's plenty of things about the game that are terrible, but solely focusing on leveling the character, it's amazing. It's so fun. You have this dice pool, and you add more, and you got these abilities, and you have all these cool ways to manipulate the dice, and it's so fun. I'll just play it just to do that. There's like dungeons you go through, but competitive and all that is junk. I like to just throw all that out, make it a co-op game. Whatever number of players, you can just scale the end monster to whatever you want it to be and just start pulling cards and let people level their characters, and it's an absolute blast. So that's the game I love where you level a character.
What else would fit? Like, would deck builders be in there?
I don't know. I just came up with fun categories.
Like, Legendary would be a fun one, right? Like, that's kind of... Is that a character leveling sort of?
No,
that's like a
you
team.
Buy new cards. It's a deck builder, yeah.
About, like, Concordia.
What? Level your merchant?
Yeah. That doesn't count? I'm trying to think of one that fits in that.
Pretty Princess. All right. Awesome game. Game I love that we played at the store. So this is like... that I've only played it at the store, I learned it at the store, or something like that. We played late night one night. We locked the doors. We were there. We had pizza. And we played Witness.
Yeah.
Four players. That was awesome and hilarious at the same time. We were cracking up. We were doing a bad job. We were doing a good job. But that was so memorable to me. So when I tried to think of, like, game I love that I've only played at the Portal, yeah, I thought of Witness was really good.
So I guess this is where Concordia could fit in, because I've only played it there.
That was hilarious when we played Oh, wait, no, sorry.
No, the one that actually jumped out, like, in a similar vein to Witness, like, I played Skull with a bunch of, like, there was a group that played Skull at the Portal, just, like, on the whim, like, it was just like, hey, let's grab this and try it out. And we just sat there, and it was a blast, like, a really neat bluffing, sort of, like, it's a, you know, it's very basic. You're just kind of going around and saying how many coasters you can flip over. But yeah, it's a really neat bluffing game, and it lended itself to quite a few laughs and that sort of stuff. So nice. Skull was really fun, too.
A game I love that I've used at school, because I'm a teacher, King of Tokyo has by far been that game. It's just people go, what? This is what games are like? Because so many teenagers, video games, video games, video games all the time. And suddenly they're like, a board game has monsters and dice and rolling and cards. And I used it in my statistics class. We tracked our stats throughout the year, and then we used it to a project. And so I'm just giving a head nod to that game. I love it. If you ask me to play it now, I'll be like, okay, I guess I'll play it, because I've overplayed and overexplained it. Yeah. I do not want to teach another person how to play that game when I've taught 20-something people at the same time to play it. Whew, that hurts my head. Even a simple game like that. But head nod to that. The best multiplayer melee game I love is Ultimate Warriors. two-player Patchwork. Really love that game. There's probably some others in there, too. Seven Wonders Duel is really good. And Catherine
that one's fun.
Love to play Star Wars LCG. Yeah. But I just wanted to give a head nod to Patchwork there. And then... lastly, the game I love because of participating in an event or a tournament, we mentioned earlier, Pandemic. No idea. Last year, said, yeah, we'll do that one round of Pandemic Survival. And Larry and I went all the way to the championship at Gen Con. And since I just love Pandemic, we got Pandemic Legacy. I love that. And it just totally made that event made me love Pandemic to be just a phenomenal game, and I realized how good it was. Before that, it was kind of like, oh, here's a fun game I could teach people other games with. I never really saw the awesomeness of that game, and now I love the puzzle of it. So,
did that have any competition in that category?
Games because of an event?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not good.
Well, I played Conquest in tournaments, and I've played some other things as well, so... I played Star Wars CCG at the Time Machine when I was in eighth grade.
I guess, yeah, there are a couple others. Like, now that you're kind of going through, like, some are kind of jumping out. Like, Targi was a very fun two-player game.
Age of War was a really, like, that's a really fun game that we played at the store, where it's like another, a very quick one where you can just get a lot of people into it and have a ton of fun just laughing and throwing dice and that sort of stuff.
That's like game I love that I don't know why I would like it.
Age of War?
Yeah. Like, it's just, if I explain this to you, Codenames falls in that category. If I explain this game, you're like, that's fun. And then you play it and you love it.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, all-time favorites?
Am I starting? Yeah.
Go for it.
All right. So, I guess this was tough to separate. Race and Roll for the Galaxy have just gotten so much play, and I've been able to just, you know, play a ton of games of those with my wife. Race has kind of taken a step back just because we've been playing Roll a lot with, like, the new expansion and, you know, just easy getting to the table and just, I don't know, it's been easier to play recently. So, Roll for the Galaxy is really high up there for me right now. And then Lord of the Rings LCG, I wish I had more time. I guess we're kind of saying we're going to find more time for it, but that's also really high up there based on, like, the variability, like, all the different scenarios that you've got in the game and just all the things you can do, and it really gets you into that deck building, like, you know, like, create your deck prior to playing the game and then play based on, like, you know, it almost has, like, that magic competitive feel, but you're playing against the system with a bunch of other people, and it's just a cooperative experience. That's really been fun. So, Lord of the Rings LCG is the other one.
Nice. I threw Terra Mystica out there already. I threw Lord of the Rings out there already, so we know those are there through the ages. So, I'm going to just jump to some of my others. So, I think of War of the Ring is one of my all-time favorites. I absolutely love that game for a two-player competitive there. Twilight Imperium 3, I absolutely love that game. I've loved teaching it. I love playing with a bunch of people. That's my, like, game I love that takes all day. And then I have to throw Kalos up there. I love Kalos, one of my favorite Euros of all time. Still trying to get people to play Kalos more with me. I think we completed two-thirds of a game once at kind of high speed. But I love that game. And then I have to throw to my all-time classic favorite, played it. It introduced me to amazing strategy games, and it's Axis and Allies. It's a great game. I am highly interested in playing it this year to see how it stands up now that I've played 10, 15 years of modern games. I have played it somewhere in there, probably around 2008 or 2009 I played it. It took a long time. Was a very fun game, but it'd be interesting to play with five people and see what that was like. But that's my pillar game. Like, that's the game that I stand on.
Yeah.
Because I started when I was 7 years old, and I've said it on here, and now I've played 27 years of games because of that game. So there we go. Those are our games that we love. So tell us about games that you love. And as well, you can enter that contest by sending an email to portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us about a topic that you'd love to hear on the show. All right, last up here, I want to tell you about some games that are on the horizon. There's some really good ones. Really good games are getting announced. I'm excited about Gen Con and Essen this year, where they're talking about games that are going to be out there. But here's what's on the horizon for us at the store. So first up is the Verse System, the Defenders, an expansion to the Upper Deck Marvel superhero?
At the moment, yeah. I think they're going beyond that, though.
They're going to go beyond that. Superhero card game. So look for that coming soon. Legendary Big Trouble in Little China. So this is the Legendary Encounter system with the Kurt Russell movie, Big Trouble in Little China. I have seen that, actually. I'm more excited about Legendary Firefly. I love everything Firefly. I guess not every game Firefly will be careful. Shiny dice! So Legendary Firefly is coming out. I definitely am interested in playing that. Legendary Marvel Civil War is coming out. That's going to coincide with the movie, so good timing for them there. Lots of Legendary on the way.
Yeah.
Odin's Ravens. This is a Kickstarter game with a long history that's now finally been printed. That's Osprey Games. Time Story, Prophecy of Dragons. Brian, how did we never get to Time Stories in this list of games we love? Games we love that we can't get to the table. We need to play Marcy Case, so that's a good one. The HBO Game of Thrones trivia game. Star Wars Rebellion. Very excited for this. Fantasy Flight Games. Yeah, I'm going to play that to death, so I can't wait. Quadropolis sounds awesome.
I'm excited for that
one. Is that soon?
Yeah, that should be very shortly. I don't know what they said for the release date. We should be getting it a little early prior to the actual street date, so keep your eyes open for that. That one looks exciting. That's the Days of Wonder game that'll be coming out this year, and I don't know, I'm excited for it.
And they just make beautiful games, so I mean, I've heard great things, and you just know it's going to be beautiful. And then last up here, I see Sea of Clouds by Yellow Games. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't. But
we'll know by the time it's coming out, I'm sure, but that's funny. Typically, I know a bunch here, so... That's what's on the horizon. Really, really exciting games on that list, I think. I guess we don't know about Sea of Clouds. But the other ones. So, stop by. Send us a message of some sort for what you're looking for and what we can help you with and whatnot. And that's what we'll see. There we go. Portal Gaming Podcast. Episode number 15, Brian. I brought the energy because I know you're not feeling well. How did I do?
Yeah, you did well.
I almost drank my whole can of Mountain Dew, too. You can probably hear it there. So, doing good. So, that was really fun. I love these off the cuff that we just talked about all this stuff. So, I hope you guys enjoyed that. If not, tell us about a topic you'd love to hear, and you could win a $25 gift card. You can send that to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. So, anyway. Another great episode. Great time talking to you guys. Hi out there to people we saw at TotalCon. It's awesome if you're listening now, and obviously other people as well. So hopefully we'll catch up with you at the store or other events. We have lots of things coming up, so catch up with us. And I think that's it. Anything else, Brian?
Thank you, guys. I don't know. Hopefully my voice isn't too off. Fun to talk about them, and hopefully it helped you guys trying to find some stuff that you might enjoy too.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's about it. I've got pretty Princess waiting for me in the attic, so I've got to go solo play that. So until next time, I am the Brant, and with me as always is
your co-host Brian.
We hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on March 2nd, 2016. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com.